Take your Bibles, please turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and we're going to continue on our topic of recipes for the Christian life. And tonight, something that I believe will be very practical, very helpful to each and every person. Doesn't matter how busy or how slow you are. Doesn't matter what business you're in, but I doesn't matter if this is your home. Doesn't matter if it's your schoolwork, doesn't matter what it is, tonight will help you. And I wanna take some time and teach this. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, we're going to read the first 11 verses together. So you follow along silently. Ecclesiastes 3, verses 1 through 11. To everything there is a season. I want you to notice that word. And a time. Notice those words. To every purpose. Notice the word purpose, under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. Time to plant, time to pluck up that which is planted. Time to kill and a time to heal. Time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. Time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, and a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. Watch this. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. Tonight, we're going to talk about the recipe for schedule. The recipe for schedule. We all have much to do in life. How much we do, when we do it, and what gets left undone is something to be determined by something called schedule. A schedule is a plan based on the time and tasks that need accomplished. Basically, you have the same amount of time as anybody else has. You may have more tasks, you may have less tasks, you may have tasks that require more time or less time, but the same is true no matter what you're involved in life. Let me start by saying this. God made all of the earth for us. He wanted us to have dominion over the earth. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26, 27, and 28. We won't take time to turn there right now. But the Bible says that God hath given man dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the face of the earth. The word dominion there means dominance. It literally means we are in charge of when and what that what happens. In other words, schedule. Now, listen to these next few statements very carefully. God did not create man to be reactionary to life's events. God did not make man to react when things happened in life. God wanted schedule. You see, sin creates reactionary living. God does not. It wasn't until man sinned that man started reacting in life instead of obeying by schedule. If you went back to Genesis chapter 1, you'll find out that the first thing that God did, he made light and darkness. And the lightness he called day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were of the first day. In other words, there was a schedule, there was a time. So God made man to live by schedule. The first thing God created in the earth or on the earth was time, evening and morning. Now listen to this. Most sin happens by unplanned reaction. God did not make us to live reactionary. He made us to live by schedule, and most sin is unplanned and reactionary, basically. In other words, we then take this reaction as a priority in life and get all wonky and blame God for what's going on in our life. God, you brought her to me. The woman thou gavest me. Reacting. I find that most problems in life are schedule problems. Do you know that most sin problems are schedule problems? You have trouble smoking, it's a schedule issue. It's a habit. You have to replace the habit. You have troubles with alcohol, it's a schedule issue. You have troubles with chewing tobacco, right, Miss Kathy? it's a schedule issue, believe it or not. Now, she finally gave it up, though. Most people in life have more things to do than they can find time to do them. How many of you would say there's enough things on your plate right now, you'd have to live a few more years to get it all done? All right? Yeah, I know that's... I have so many things to do, I need 3 lifetimes to get them done in. We have so much to do that it's easy to get things out of proper order or out of proper propriety or, may I say the word, priority. You see, prioritizing things is very important. Now listen to this. If you miss everything, get these next 2 statements. The most important things do not clamor for our time or our attention. The unimportant things do. The most important things in life do not clamor for your attention. Did you know work does not clamor for your attention? It's the unimportant things that do. Important things are scheduled, and unimportant things clamor to be a priority. These unimportant things are the enemy to your schedule. That's an unimportant thing. Let me say that again. That's an unimportant thing. Many of you make that your priority. You're at work, you got to have it. You're at the kitchen table, you got to have it. We were all together with our family. There was about 16 or 18 of us sitting down to eat a meal last week. And somebody was on their phone and somebody else piped up, "Can't you put that thing down at the table?" I loved it. Your social media is a small thing. It's an unimportant thing. And yet some of you have important things that need to get done, but you've spent more time on social media than doing that which would have gotten the other thing done that you needed to get done. Okay, this one's going to hurt. Your video games and your hobbies. Some of you spend so much time playing games. Let me ask you a question. Let's look at the garage, or let's look at the basement, or let's look at the shed and see what it's like compared to how many hours you put into your playing time. And you wonder why everything's a mess. Say why? Because the unimportant things clamor for our time, but the big things don't clamor for your time. Now that everybody's beaten and bloodied, God made the earth and the world to function by schedule. We read in Ecclesiastes 3, God telling us a little bit about the world's schedule. He said there's a time to be born. You ladies, you can go get pregnant and you'll go to the doctor and they'll tell you this is your due date. They know just about how long it takes to hatch one of those critters. You say why? Because things come by schedule. Now some are a little bit early, some are a little bit late, but it's generally within a pretty close proximity of that first guest date. You say, why? Because everything kind of rolls along at the same schedule or at the same pace. There's a time to die. There's a time to plant. Did you know that in the middle of winter, you don't plant corn? You say, but preacher, it's the time I had. Then it's going to rot and die. And you've wasted your time and your money. You have to wait for the right times to plant the right things. And that you say, why? Because that's how you schedule in life. Now, I'm not going to go through all these verses that way. Did you know that the sunrise and the sunset are predictable? They're by schedule. If you ever look at your weather app or watch the news or the weather on the news, it'll tell you what time sunrise will be tomorrow and sunset will be tonight. Say why? Because we can predict exactly the hour and the minute that that's going to happen because God made the world by schedule and we know by the date on the calendar where it will be at. And it's scheduled and it was set up that way by God. Did you know that the tides are predictable? If you live close to the ocean, tidal reports are very important. You know how high it's going to be, when it's going to be high, when it's going to be low. If you lived in Charleston, South Carolina, you found out there's two high tides every day. And that was important because about half the streets in downtown Charleston flood every day at high tide. And you knew which streets to stay off of, amen, Brother Joe, at high tide. Otherwise, you're running salt water all over the bottom of your car. It's just the way you live down there. By the way, the seasons are predictable. We know what day the first day of winter is, the first day of spring, the first day of summer, the first day of fall. We know what they are because those are so predictable. By the way, they're the same every year. Now, all the things that God made happen by schedule. Everything that God set in motion works by schedule. Now, listen to this very carefully. God made us best. God made us to function best by schedule and not to react to every little thing that happens. The more frustrated you are in life, the less scheduled you are. Guarantee it. The more out of schedule you get, the more frustrated you get. That's why by the end of a 1 or 2 week vacation, you're ready to kill everybody. And everybody's ready to go back to work even though they don't want to go back to work. They're just ready to get back into routine, schedule. See, why? Because the more out of schedule you get, the more complex and difficult life becomes. So let me give you the five ingredients here, and then I'm going to get us through this quickly here. Number one, God made the earth schedule. Number two, we only have 24 hours a day to do tasks. Number three, decide or plan priorities. Number four, emergencies or time interrupters. And number five, give yourself to each task. Number one, God made the earth to function by schedule. I mentioned this earlier, Genesis chapter 1. God created the universe. He made it to function by schedule. We know what the tides are based on where we are in our orbit around the sun, based on the rotation of the earth as we go around each day. We understand that. We understand that it's controlled by that, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The first thing that God did on earth was make light and night. He separated it and gave us day and night. Each day, each season was set in stone by God. Ecclesiastes 3:1, to everything, there is a season and a time. God said to everything, there's a season and a time. Those of you that are senior citizens, it's not the season of life to be having babies. We're smart enough not to have them at that age. If we'd have known what they were, we wouldn't have had them to start with. Brother Harry said if he'd have known that, he'd have just started with grandkids. But each day, each season, each year was set in motion by God and are scheduled. Did you know what is set in order, man cannot change? Now, let me say this. Did you know that tomorrow's schedule is already set by God, whether it's cloudy or sunshiny? Even if there's clouds, the sun's coming up tomorrow. Even if there's rain, the sun is going to come up. Well, I didn't see it. Doesn't matter. Just because you didn't see it doesn't mean that it was not there. You see, it's still daytime whether you see the sunshine or not. And that is exact, by the way, that's what's wrong with the mentality of these climate change people. We're going to destroy the earth. We're going to run out of water. Spotty the owl will die. Well, Spotty the owl is going to die sometime anyway. And you're not going to run out of water. According to Ecclesiastes chapter 1, the water cycle is still there. It's going to come back. Don't worry. Just because the events of life are different than our ideals does not mean that our schedule changes. Brother Josh, you know this. Mrs. Barnes, you really know this. My schedule changes a lot, but my schedule stays somewhat the same. I know what I'm doing, what day I'm doing it. I pretty much know my routine, but then I get a phone call like I did this late this morning, said, can you take your dad to the doctor? Sure. Schedule change. Does that mean everything I had planned to do while I took my dad to the doctor did not get done? No, I just rescheduled it. I took some of it with me so that while I was waiting in the car, because I could not go in with him, I was able to do some of the work. Then when he walked out and said, I got to go to the emergency room. Okay, here we go. Let's call mom. Let's get all this stuff in motion here. I didn't panic. We got through it and couldn't go into the hospital with him. That was not making me real happy, but it's what it is. Now, wait a minute. Though the schedule changed, all the things I had planned for that period of time still need to get done. I immediately went to work on when I could reinsert those things into my schedule. And that's what I did. Now, weather may change, but the season is not based on the weather. Oh, it's almost summertime. And it sure hasn't felt like summer. It's only been in the 60s and 70s. Well, thank God for it when it's 98 degrees and you're going to complain. Well, it sure doesn't feel like summer. Okay, it's not summer yet. Not till another couple weeks till it turns summer. That's why it's called spring. Has big back and forth motions to it. You know, I love these mornings down in the 50s. You wait till you have mornings down in the 80s. And you're going to wish you had mornings down in the 50s. You say, oh, not me, not me. Okay, you may not, but guess what? That's what's coming. And then it's going to swing back called fall. And the bottom's going to drop out. Psh, boom, and the temperature's going to fall. Then you've got winter. Thank God it's not like Minnesota. 64 below zero, standing temperature, and then wind chills on top of that. That's in the Hebrew for hell. So cold that it burns you, all right? Just so you know. Now, just because the weather may not feel like you think it ought to feel right now to be the time of the year that it is, does not change the season. That is exactly what God is talking about here. You see, just because it doesn't set to your ideal standards does not mean that it's still not in the schedule. I've got to hurry here. The more we understand schedule, the more productive we can make the earth. The more you understand the earth's schedule, the more productive you can make it. The optimal time to plant certain plants for crops and different things, you can make it more profitable. sneaking your crops in a little too early, you might get them too wet and they're going to rot. They might sprout and freeze and you might lose it all. You have to know when to plant what so that you make it as productive as possible. Knowing when to hunt. There are certain times of year that are hunting season, but there are certain times in that hunting season even that are more productive than at other times. Usually, generally speaking, early seasons are better. You say, why? Because they haven't been hunted since last year. You have a better chance at catching them. But then you catch them at rut or something like that, and the bucks are running stupid, that's a good time to get them. There are knowing when to laugh and when to mourn are good things. Okay, we had the wedding Friday evening. I've heard this comment more than I've ever heard in my life. That was the most fun, enjoyable wedding I've ever been to. Me too, wasn't mine. Now, wait a minute. It was fun. It was enjoyable. I've enjoyed marriage, but man, I couldn't. I promised my kids that I would not pray for 5 minutes at a time at their weddings, and I did not. Now, we enjoyed it. We had fun with it. But did you know if the next funeral I do, we're not necessarily going to sit there and high five? You say, why? Not really appropriate. Not the most appropriate thing to do. That doesn't mean we might not laugh a little. But it's not time to have a big party and a dinner beforehand and a dinner after and decorate and say, congratulations, you died. Those aren't the most appropriate things. Yeah, then we might party. All right. That's not mourning. That's a time to rejoice. Yeah, but can I say this? We've got certain times to do those things. If you're getting in trouble, it's not time to laugh. Let me just help you with something here. If you're being corrected, don't laugh. It's going to make it a little worse. You know, I made that mistake one time. My mom paddled me and I laughed. Just wait till your dad gets home. Ooh, should not have laughed out loud. Laugh inside, not outside. And I did not laugh when my dad got home. All right? So God made the earth to function by schedule. The more we know this schedule, the better production we get out of it. Number two, there are only 24 hours in a day. Do you know that everybody has the same amount of time? Well, I just don't seem to get as much done as other people schedule. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to show you a couple verses here. Ephesians chapter 5. Look at verse number 16. I want you to notice a couple things about this verse. Ephesians 5:16. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Ooh. That means sin and evil is trying to rob your time. So we have to redeem. We have to buy back. We have to get back our time that is wasted by sin and evil. Look at Colossians chapter 4. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Colossians chapter 4, verse number 5. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. God says those that walk in wisdom will redeem their time. That means you're going to get your time back that it could be wasted by those that are wasting time. Now, these verses show us how that sin and evil try to steal our time. By the way, for the wages of sin is death. Oh, what is death? Death is the stopping of our time. Sin robs us of time. The effects of sin robs us of time. Our health. Before man sinned, we had no health issues. There are days you will lose because your health isn't as good as it should be. Sometimes you lose more than a day. Sometimes you lose days or weeks. Sometimes you lose months. Some could lose years. Say why? Because of health issues. Financial issues. Because we handle our finances not in accordance to the word of God. We lose them, which means we've lost the payment for our time, which means we got to go out and work more because we wasted our money. Boy, there's so many things I want to say right there. I'm going to move on. Number three, decide or plan your priorities. Decide or plan your priorities. Priorities, okay, let me put it this way. There are tasks that need done. There are tasks in your life you need to get done. You need to mow the grass. You need to clean out the garage. You need to clean out the shed. You need to clean the basement. You've got to, there are certain things that you need to get done. Now watch this. There are also tasks we want to do. We want to play video games. We want to fish or hunt. We want to do a certain hobby. Maybe it's sewing for you ladies or whatever. There are certain things you want to do. Here's the problem. We'll go do the things we want to do and leave undone the things that need to get done. And we have our priorities wrong. Need comes before want. Okay, everybody just got mad at me. I'm about ready to leave. Let's pray and say amen. I not only decide what needs done, but I'm supposed to decide what time it gets done. What time I will allow for it to get done. Let me go back to what I said earlier. Today, my schedule changed. I had to take a couple hours out of my day because of a schedule change. So if I had time scheduled for things I want to do, I just replaced my want to do with my need to do list. Everybody doing okay? Here's what you do. Well, it just won't get done because I want to do this instead. That's where you get less done, and that's where priorities bother you. Let me say it this way. But you also have to allot the certain amount of time and schedule your time to do it. Schedule a time to start. Schedule a time to stop. Okay. As far as I know, nobody was late to church tonight, so I'm not talking about you. All right? I can cure everybody not being late to whatever meeting you've got to go to. Leave in plenty of time to get there early. If it takes you 20 minutes to get somewhere and you have to be there at 7 o'clock, you don't leave at 6:45 and get there on time. You have to leave at 6:30 so that you're there 10 minutes early in case there's traffic. Well, it was traffic this time. You have to leave at a certain time to make sure you're where you're supposed to be on time. Everybody doing okay? Man, I'm feeling like I'm on an island all by myself tonight. But it's also true in your daily routine that when it's time to stop something, whether you're done or not, you stop. I constantly work on sermons. I probably have somewhere in the neighborhood of 20 sermons that I'm working on right now. They're all at different stages of undone. I have two files in a drawer that are about that thick, full of sermon ideas and partially done sermons, probably several hundred. You say, why? Because I haven't had time to finish them. But I'm constantly working on them. So that as they get more and more done, and as I see the need arise for that truth, pull it out, finish it, redo it. Here we go. I knew last week with the chaos of a wedding and the chaos of all the people that we had to take care of and entertain and all the decorating and undecorating, I got myself farther ahead in sermons than I normally would have, so that I didn't have to cheat our church in preaching and teaching during the preparation for a wedding. I don't think there's one person here that felt like I cheated you on anything when it comes to church. Say why? Because I prepared in advance for it. Everybody doing okay? You need to stop when the schedule says stop, unless you finish early. If you finish early, that means either you have a small portion of time to work on something else or play, or you can work ahead on the next thing and see if you can get done early so that you have more time at the end of the day. And that's how that works. Now, let me say this. Do not let pop-up things sidetrack you. Those unplanned things are the things that will rob your time. Just because that rings or just because a text come in doesn't mean you have to answer it. At least right then. Very few things in life are a true emergency. They need added to your schedule, not necessarily done as they pop up. There are times I'm working, I'm doing things, people will call to the office, is preacher there? I can in the background hear Mrs. Barnes say, he's with someone or he's busy at the moment, can I take a message? He'll get back to you. I don't always have the availability of just stopping what I'm doing to take your call, but I promise you, I get back to you pretty expediently. It's rare that I don't, and I mean very rare. I know no call goes more than 24 hours. Guarantee it. Usually I have it within the hour. You say, why is that, preacher? Because I believe your time's just as important as mine, but I can't always stop in the middle of what I'm doing to answer your question right then. Just because you see something now doesn't mean it needs done now. Here's the average person. They're going to go clean the shed. They get into the shed. They open the door and they start cleaning and they say, oh man, I haven't seen that in a long time. You know, that broke, but I think I could fix that. And then they go back and they start. Man, I just hit the nerve, didn't I? You didn't clean the shed. You got distracted by the pop-up unplanned. Oh, I just found what I've been looking for 20 years. I forgot it was in here. The unplanned got you. Just because you saw it doesn't mean you do that right now. Put it in a different pile for the to-be-done-later pile. But keep cleaning the shed. Boy, that's good stuff. Amen, preacher. Yeah. Most people run late or behind because they don't run by schedule. Okay, let's bring the ridiculous down to where we live. God does not change the sunrise because it's cloudy. Nor does God change the sunrise because you're tired. He doesn't change the tides because it's hot or cold. God doesn't change those things based on what's happening around the circumstances. Those things are constant no matter what. And your schedule is to be constant no matter what. We need to learn the importance of things being done on time. Did you know that time is life? The most important thing someone can give you is their time, because their time is their life. I could give you $5, it might mean something to you, but 5 minutes means more, should mean more to you than $5. For me to give you an hour of my time, I'm giving you an hour of my life. And I'm just going to go ahead and say it. That's why I have a hard time with people that are late to everything all the time, because you're wasting everybody's time. If you show up to a room of people, of 100 people, and you've been 5 minutes late, you weren't 5 minutes late, you were 500 minutes late, because you wasted 5 minutes of the 100 people that were there. Boy, that's good. We waste life on what we want versus what we need. Some of you waste most of your life on play, on video games, on doing the non-essential things, and the things that need to get done never get done in your life because you're wasting your life on things you don't need to do. The busier you are, the more you're needed and the less want time you have. I just got to get away. I just got to have time. I've got so much to do. I don't understand. I love doing what I do. Now, there are days I need to get a little bit of, but a half day for me is about 7 or 8 hours. I can get here at 5 in the morning, leave here by 3 in the afternoon. Man, I feel like I've taken a vacation. Say, why, preacher? Because then the phone's going to ring 16 more times that evening. There are times, but I still have grass to mow. I still have weeds to pull. But that's what my day off's for. I try to get all those things done in that day. See, boy, there's so much. While my boys were in town, we took time to go golfing on one day last week, and it was 95 degrees outside. And then wanted to go golfing at 4:30 in the afternoon in 95 degree heat. I'm melting. But I wanted to spend time with my boys. So we did. I made sure we had time to go golfing. And I have some great pictures of my son, Brother Josh, going. He was not happy at that moment. Now, wait a minute. They wanted to go another time. I thought I might be able to do it. I said, pencil me in. Well, the stress of things wasn't going quite that well. And I felt like it better for me not to go golfing the second time, to be available to help my wife and my daughter so that they didn't kill me. So I did not go golfing. Don't you think I would have rather been out golfing than decorating at a church? Amen. For a wedding? You betcha. Guess where I was? Right here rescuing Michael. Helping. Keeping him and I both out of trouble. Yeah, he should. Well, he had the chance, but he didn't. So there was a little schedule difference. We were supposed to have rehearsal at a certain time on Thursday evening. And a couple hours before rehearsal, one of the guy's cars broke down in Morgantown. And we're supposed to meet at 5. This is 3:30 in the afternoon, and he's in Morgantown, broke down. I said, well, he's not making it. But I said, Michael, give him this person's name and number. Have him call him. And by the time we got done with rehearsal, that person had already been out there, helped him fix his car, paid for it, got him on the road, and got him here by the end of rehearsal. He said, how'd you do that? You don't even know me. I said, didn't need to know you. I knew where you were, knew who could fix it for you. And we were able to catch him up on what was done at rehearsal, even though he didn't get to eat. Now, wait a minute. I wasn't going to destroy the wedding over somebody not being there. By the way, a little out of his control when the vehicle breaks down. But I was able to help get him here to where he was here for the wedding. That was a little bit more important. Number 4, emergencies and time interrupters. An emergency is not an emergency based on someone else's thinking that it's important. An emergency on your part does not constitute an emergency on my part. Lack of planning on your part doesn't make it an emergency for me. An emergency is a major health or life or death situation. An emergency is, Dad needs to go to the doctor and then the hospital. Okay, that's an emergency. An emergency isn't, well, I stubbed my toe at the house today and it's black and blue. What should I do, preacher? Put it in your mouth and suck on it for a while. It'll be all right. Someone's in a car wreck and in the emergency room, that's an emergency. Well, I have a question about a Bible study 6 weeks ago. Okay, that's not an emergency, and I'll get back with you later. It's important, yes. Emergency, no. I'm for the Bible questions, but they're not emergencies. Does that make sense to everybody? Boy, that's good stuff. Okay. I'm not going to look at anybody when I say this. A financial emergency isn't your stomach's grumbling and you got to go to McDonald's or Arby's or Rally's or Wendy's or Burger King or Popeye's or wherever you're going to stop. Okay? Or Dairy Queen or Nutter's. Well, maybe Nutter's. It's not an emergency just because you're hungry. It's 4 o'clock, you're going to eat dinner at 5 o'clock, but you're passing McDonald's and you're so hungry you're going to die before you get home. It's not an emergency. Keep driving. Everybody doing it? Man, I'm having fun right now. The phone and social media are not emergencies needing your immediate attention. I'm going to make a statement here. Don't spend time on emotion, the emotion of a text. Some of you try to read emotions into texts, and you waste all this energy. Well, they're mad at me. They use capital letters. Have you ever, if you have fat fingers like I do, sometimes you hit buttons and you're just too lazy to go back and fix the capital letters. Yeah. So quit reading emotion into a text. Well, I know how they would say it. Oh, now you're all wound up that he said something that he didn't even mean and you didn't even read the text. And you've wasted time wondering what the emotion was. That's one of the dangers of text if you're not careful. It can be an effective tool. Yes, it can. But quit wasting time on and emotions on a text. Right. Boy, that's good stuff. Yeah, now, let me tell you how you get all these things done, and I'll help you. Number 6 or 5 or whatever this is, number 5. Can't read my own writing. Give yourself 100% to every task. Give yourself 100% to every task. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31. I want you to look at it. 1 Corinthians 10, 31. I'm going to give you 2 other verses. I probably won't take time to turn there. 1 Corinthians 10, 31. The Bible says this. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Colossians 3:23, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord. Ecclesiastes 9:10, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. See, here's what happens. You have something to do, you don't want to do it, but it needs done, so you give half of your attention to it. And you're thinking about something you want to do while you're doing something you need to do. And it takes, you've used up your allotted time and you're not done. And now you've complicated things because now you have to reschedule, but you're not going to quit thinking about that which you want to do. That's why it's about worthless for somebody to go on vacation, because usually a couple days before they leave on vacation, they don't get anything done. Why? Because they're thinking about vacation. I am the world's worst about thinking about vacation before it gets here because I can't afford to. If I have vacation planned, I think about it the moment I'm done working and it's time to leave for vacation. Now, it's already been planned. It's already been thought through. But I will not allow myself to think about it because I'm not going to think about anything else. I know me. I don't have the character to. So give yourself 100% to the task at hand and focus only on it. By the way, you'll get it done quicker. You don't want to do a certain homework assignment. Ouch. If you'd give yourself 100% to it, you'll get through it faster. Rather than thinking, well, can I do this first? Can I do this first? Can I go do all these other things and then I'll come back and do this? No, give yourself that period of time, think about it, get done with it, and get it over with. Boy, that's good stuff. Be there mentally 100% at everything you do. I gave myself 100% to be dad, and I gave myself 100% to be pastor at my daughter's wedding. When it was time to be dad, I was dad. When it was time to be pastor, I was pastor. And I gave 100% to each of those moments. Give yourself 100% physically to what you're doing. Don't do it haphazardly. You're going to get hurt. I'll guarantee most accidents happen at work because somebody's not there mentally or physically. I've been there. I've watched guys get hurt in the shop. They get careless. They decide they know more than that machine can handle. And they can cheat the machine to get done faster. So they're going to do that. Or they're not paying attention. I watched a guy grind the end of his finger off one night on a grinder. He was grinding and he was talking to somebody. And he's... And all of a sudden... Boy, you've never seen what a grinding wheel can do to a finger in just a few fractions of a second. Took it all the way down into the bone. Got metal dust in there, infection, all kinds. Oh, it was ugly. Say why? Because he wasn't paying attention. Don't think about the task you just did or what is to come. Think about the one you're doing right now. You will complete more tasks with better quality and be able to accomplish more this way. By the way, that's what God did at creation. He created one thing at a time. And if you go through creation and watch how God built one thing upon another and look at the logic by which God did that, it will shock you. I'm going to tell you a secret. That's how I studied at college. My wife knows this is true. I never studied more than about an hour or an hour and a half for any final at college. Ever. Say why? I dated my notes. I took very copious notes in every class that I took. That means very detailed. I would go to class, and usually there was time between classes, and for about 2 or 3 minutes before the class started, I would sit down, I would look at my notes, and I would review the last few days worth of notes, get my mind ready, and it was a review time. We had Monday, Tuesday classes, and then we had Wednesday, Thursday, Friday classes. So if you had a Monday, Tuesday class, you hadn't seen those notes since last Tuesday. I'm trying not to sneeze. It's not good. Got it. Thought I was going to lose it. I caught it. So I would go to class on Monday and read the previous Monday, Tuesday notes and maybe the week before that. So that by the time the teacher stood up to teach, I was already focused on the material where he left off. And as he reviewed, maybe, I got a double review. You do that every week. Guess what? You don't have to study much. And I gave myself to that class. I didn't sit there and doodle. I didn't sit there and write love notes to my future wife, usually. I didn't do anything but focus on that class because I worked 40 hours a week. I drove an hour each way to and from work. I was a Bible club leader, had two Bible clubs. I had a bus route. I was teaching D Sunday school. I was preaching four times a week and preparing four sermons a week on top of working full time, on top of taking 18 to 22 hours of college class. I didn't have time to sit there and study for hours. I was only sleeping 3.5-4 hours a night as it was. I didn't have time to do that. I'd get home from work at 1:15 in the morning, get to bed hopefully by 1:30, get up at 5:30 and start all over again. I did that for 4 years straight. You say, why? Because I'm nuts. It's all right. All right. But I didn't take a long time to, by the way, I graduated college with 3.17 GPA. Now I realize there's much better GPA than that, but that's not terrible. It's a little above average. Yeah, it's a solid B. Now, could I have done better? Yes, if my bills were paid and I had time to study. But I also worked hard, broke a lot of production records. By the way, worked so hard that years later my boss would come here after he gave our church $165,000 to build this building. Guess it was worth putting all my time and effort into working too. Boy, that's good stuff. Most problems we face are sin problems. And that because we didn't schedule our thoughts and our time and our actions, and we didn't prevent as much sin as possible in our life. Most of us do not schedule ourselves out of sin. We let it creep up on us on its own. Get your priorities decided. Don't let the little intrusions keep you from doing your schedule. Get in schedule and give 100% to everything that you're doing as you do it. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. There's a time and a season under every purpose. God's schedule works. We've just got to follow it.